This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You're listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. Corey and I are fortunate today in that we have reserved for our first two segments Adrian Day. Adrian Day is the founder of Adrian Day Asset Management. I have to tell you, if you're looking for somebody who is really credible, in my opinion, Adrian would be right at the top of that list. We're going to chat a little bit right now with Adrian about starting out with the precious metals sector and also include other commodities. What's your overall view right now on gold, Adrian?
Well, thank you for those very kind comments, by the way. Thank you. And it's good to be here. Let me make two broad comments on gold. You know, first of all, I'm extremely bullish, and I'll tell you why, but I'm also afraid of a near-term correction. So if you look at gold, you know, all of the things that we've been saying for the last year or so remain true, but remain even truer today, if you know what I mean. So monetary policy, interest rates around the world remain very, very low. Negative interest rates, officially negative, not negative real rates, but negative nominal rates, now encompass about 23% of the world's GDP. That's astonishing and unprecedented. And, of course, Janet Yellen, the head of the Federal Reserve, has been discussing negative rates in the U.S. in a way that suggests that they are actually, at the minimum, studying and perhaps planning to introduce negative rates in the U.S. That's all extremely positive for gold. You know, you have concern about the dollar, even though it's rallied the last few little while, it seems to me that it peaked in January, at least on a you know, short-term basis, temporarily peaked. That's positive for the dollar. Global equity markets are more volatile, more vulnerable, certainly less of a one-way street than they were the last few years. And I think the other one thing, if I may say, is a sentiment which, as recently as, say, 3-4 months ago was, or 4-5 months ago, was the most bearish on record by all of the indicators, has turned reasonably positive. And that's an enormous positive. And so you're now seeing institutional investors, reputable institutional investors, take large positions in gold. You're seeing more and more hedge funds decide to take small positions as a hedge on the rest of their positions and so on. So slowly people are beginning to move into gold. And that's all positive, I think.
Well, this change in sentiment, I think, is huge for gold simply because, well, it really couldn't have gotten any worse than it was about 6 months ago, I guess it was. Plus, these bigger investors, I think, with money, as we have seen, flowing into the ETFs have been a sign to me as well, Adrian, that there is interest coming back into the gold sector, and I still think it'll take time. For everybody to come back.
Yeah, I mean, the inflows this year into ETFs, as you probably know, are more than all of last year's outflows. So, yeah, all of these indicators are very, very positive to me. But there's been a fundamental shift in people's attitude.
You know, we've had a couple of comments on our blog today, people saying that we're not really going to get excited for gold. You know, it hits at least minimum 1,300, more like 1,400. I'm saying I don't think any excitement is going to start in the gold sector until we get much, much closer to 1,400. I don't think 1,300 is going to do very much. Do you?
No, I mean, obviously, it's on a continuum, you know. I mean, it's not one day there's no excitement and the next day there is.
Right,
obviously.
Right.
But no, I tend to agree with you, but you need 1350, 1400 is when people start to come back. You know what's really interesting to me is that unlike prior rallies at the beginning of the year, the public is not participating in this. The public doesn't believe it, and for good reason. You know, they invested last January and lost their shirt. They invested the January before and lost their shirt. And so people are very skeptical. What's interesting to me is that there's some big institutions like Druckenmiller and insiders, company insiders, analysts, people who are close to the market, who are the most bullish, and the public is not. And that's a complete reversal of the last couple of years. And to me, that's also very, very bullish, because it means there's an awful lot. This is the other point I'd make, if I may. There's an awful lot of buying on the sidelines. You know, we can see that in facts. Like, you look at the short positions on most stocks. The short positions on most stocks have actually gone up this year. January and February, the short positions rose, and rose very significantly on a lot of stocks. Like, if you take Barrick as an example, Barrick's short position at the end of the year was 24.5 million, and it's now over 39 million. That's a huge increase in the short position as the stock is going up. Again, that's a complete reversal of last year, where the stock rally was largely a short covering exercise. And so that's one factual. And anecdotally, when I talk to people at shows, or when I call prospects and say, hey, are you ready to invest in gold? Oh, this is a typical answer. Oh, I still believe in gold. I'm a big believer in gold. Believe me, Adrian, when I'm ready to invest, I'm going to go with you. You're the one I want. But I'm just going to wait until things look better. And I think people who've been hurt so many times in the gold market are not prepared to invest yet. They're waiting. And that, of course, is a big positive. It means there's a lot of buying on the sidelines.
Completely agree with you, Adrian. And I do understand why some people are sitting on the sidelines, simply because they've tried to buy every rally over the last 4 or 5 years and have kind of been kicked in the teeth time and time again. But I think that's why it's important to look at what the big money is doing, because usually they can be at the start of the move, and then the retail investors move in a little bit later. And one aspect that I want you to comment here before we get into some stocks that you like is the moves that we're seeing in gold on a day-after-day basis are pretty high in terms of dollar-wise, like at least $10, sometimes $20. Back on Wednesday, gold was moving about $25. What do you take away from this wider volatility just day by day?
Well, I think it's showing that this rally is very, very resilient. You know, you have days where gold starts down, where the dollar goes up, stock market's firm, and you'd expect gold to go down sharply on a day like that. But gold is actually recovering, if not the same day, the next day, even in the face of a higher dollar and in the face of a stronger stock market, or firmer stock market, I should say. So that's just showing me how resilient this market is, how much buying power is on the sidelines. Every dip, small dip, is met with more buying. And, you know, the other thing I think we focus so far on gold, but if you look at the gold stocks, you know, the XAU index is up over 50% this year. That's astonishing. And I'll get to my a bit about the correction in a minute, if I may, because I think it's important that people don't chase prices. But so you say, oh, my gosh, they're up so much, I'm not going to buy. But then you look at the XAU from its peak, it's still down. It's still down over 70% from its 2011 peak. If you look at valuations, if you take away the second half of 2015, on most valuation metrics, gold stocks are still selling at 10 and 20 year lows. We're still selling at valuations lower than before this bull market even started back in 2001. So even though we've come a long way this year, there's a long way still to come.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think there is a long ways to go. But I want to ask you one question. You know, we have geopolitical events second to none that are going on right now and have been going on for quite some time that really haven't affected the price of gold. I don't want to say one whit, but they really haven't affected the price very much. Any comments on that as to why?
Guys, unfortunately, sorry, Adrian, we are out of time for this segment. We will address that topic to kick off the next segment. Everyone stick around. We're going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Don't know what's in your drinking water? Better get a ProPure. With the Pro-1 G2.0 all-in-one filter, remove over 200 contaminants, including fluoride and lead. Taste water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure water filtration products. There's a ProPure system for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details on our current free shipping special or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Hey everyone, with 20 plus years as a radio host, I've seen about everything. One thing that keeps recurring though are these timeshare charlatans. These high pressure salespeople who get folks to come out to some resort for a special weekend offer. Then they get them in a corner and browbeat them and coerce them into buying a timeshare they don't need, they don't want, and they can't afford. And then they're stuck with that thing forever. Monthly payments, mortgage payments, annual fees that keep going up and up. Well, up until recently, people thought they couldn't get rid of these things. You know, you can't get out of the contract, you can't get out of the deed or the membership. Well, that's not true. My friends at American Consumer Credit, a timeshare release company, can get you free. That's their personal guarantee. 12 years in business, free consultation, A-plus rating with the DBV, they're the real deal. You want to get out of your timeshare contract? Call them now. 800-587-EXIT. That's 800-587-3948. 800-587-EXIT. Call now, 800-587-3948.
You know about RVs, you've heard about bunkers, but surviving is not recreation, and man wasn't made to live underground. Introducing Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid survival bug-out house that's mobile, well-equipped, and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Go to survivalistcamps.com to learn more. That's survivalistcamps.com, providing your basic needs to survive. Survivalistcamps.com.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't take on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes. I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay, continuing our discussion with Adrian Day, founder of Adrian Day Asset Management. Adrian, What I was asking at the end of the last hour when we ran out of time was geopolitical events right now don't seem to be doing much to affect the price of gold, either in a positive direction or in a negative direction. Any comments on that?
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I think sometimes people have expectations that are perhaps overblown. But I think the biggest factor, and we think back to the Iranian hostage situation at the end of the 70s, which saw gold go from like 420 to 850. I think the biggest factor, the biggest criterion that I would say is that geopolitical events tend to affect gold when gold is already in a bull market. When gold is in a bear market or flat, they tend to have a very, very minimal impact. And you saw that, for example, last year with the Russian invasion or Russian move into the Crimea. And gold did move up, and I can't remember exactly how much right now, but it moved up, you know, $15 or $20, but it was very short-lived. And that was because gold essentially was in a bear market. I think if you saw that again today, you would see a bigger and more sustained move.
Very good comment there, Adrian. And I think that speaks a lot to how geopolitical actions don't necessarily change the trend of assets in a direction that they're moving. They can just either further provide fuel for a bull or, I guess, provide a little bit of dampening for a bear if you're in a bear market there. So it all comes down to how many people are paying attention to the asset class. And right now, more are paying attention to gold. Even as you said at last segment, some of the stocks, the indexes that follow the stocks, the precious metal stocks, have moved quite a bit, but are still very low. What are some stocks that you're focusing on and telling your subscribers?
Okay, well, just very briefly, I am concerned after a 50% move in the gold stocks this year, I'm concerned that we're likely to get some kind of pullback in the weeks ahead. You know, seasonally, we're entering a softer period for gold stocks in April, May, June. You know, with the speculative longs on the COMEX now at very, very high levels, and that's a complete reversal from 4 months ago, we're obviously vulnerable to those people deciding for whatever reason to take their profits. They've got good short-term profits. So I think a pullback is in the offing, and I would be a little bit cautious about chasing stocks right now. Having said that, among the senior companies, one that we are buying that is still very, very cheap is a Cisco. The symbol on Canada is OR, Toronto. This is perhaps the fourth largest of the precious metals mining royalty companies after Franco Royal and Silver Wheaton. You know, we're talking a fairly large company. Its market cap is about $1.5 billion, which is obviously less than Franco and Royal, but still substantial. And that one hasn't really moved that much, I think largely because it's a relatively new royalty company. They have two very large cornerstone royalties on the Canadian Malartic mine and on Goldcorp's Eleonore mine, which are both long-life, relatively low-cost mines in Quebec, in a safe jurisdiction. But, you know, two big producing royalties is obviously a lot different from Franco or Royal. Anyway, so we like that one now. Among the juniors, I mean, there's several that we are looking to buy, you know, but with the juniors, you know, you pick away. You don't just go all in. But we like Midland a lot, MD on Toronto. That's a prospect generator focused on Quebec. They've got about 8 drill programs this year planned, half of them with joint venture partners, half of them just initial drill programs that they're doing themselves. They've got a balance sheet. They've got about $60 million Canadian in cash. So very, very well financed, very, very well, very active. A lot of high-quality partners like Agnico Eagle, Teck, Jugmec, the Japanese national oil company. So, you know, good partners, good activity, selling at 70 cents, I think that's a good buy. I'm also, we're still buying Reservoir Minerals. Now, that's not a gold stock, of course, but Reservoir Minerals is the company that made the discovery in a joint venture with Freeport, made a big copper discovery in Serbia. But some people, some geologists I know said had some of the best value holds that they had ever seen in any mineral in their life. So this is a very, very high grade discovery. Recently, Lundin offered to buy part of Freeport's interest in the joint venture because of Freeport's financial problems, and Reservoir, the stock jumped 50% on that news because it puts a value on the project. But Reservoir has a right to first refusal, so Reservoir can match the offer that Lundin made, and I suspect they're going to. And even though I normally don't like buying stocks that jump 50%, I'm not a momentum investor, I'm a value investor, I think this puts the stock into play, and I think Reservoir is likely to come up with the money to match Lundin's offer, and then they will be in control of their own destiny and will be able to bring in another partner at a much higher price. So, you know, I'm thinking that the stock's 650 at the moment, 647 or something. I'm thinking this could easily be $8 to $9 in the next 2 or 3 months, even without, you know, a takeover or anything like that. Then there's several very good quality companies that I would just rather buy a little bit cheaper. You know, Royal Gold of $50 is still very, very good value. Mm-hmm. But the stocks, again, it's this one has actually doubled this year. It got down to 25 on an exaggerated sell-off. So when a stock doubles, I just don't like to chase it. But, you know, I wouldn't be waiting for $25 again. You know, if I saw anywhere from 45 to, you know, 40 to 45, I'd be buying that one again. And the same goes, frankly, with a lot of the senior stocks. You know, I wouldn't be waiting for big corrections, depending, of course, on how much the investor already owns.
I think once we start to get a little bit of help from the commodity sector itself, I think that the companies that you are looking at right now, and in some cases buying right now, I think could probably be absolute home runs.
And the truth is, if somebody came to me today, it all depends on an individual's personal circumstances. If somebody came to me today and said, I've got a $1 million portfolio and I don't have a single gold stock, but I'm wondering if I should buy something, I would definitely say, yes, start picking away. You know, buy Franco at 61. Franco's my number one gold stock. It's a buy and hold. I'm not buying it here. I have to say I'm not buying it at 61. But if you're new to the sector and you're prepared to wait a year, you're going to see higher prices. So, yes, I would definitely be buying if you don't own any. But I'm assuming that most of the people listening to us talk about gold already own a lot of gold.
Yeah,
they do. So then you need to wait for better prices before you buy.
Good comment there, Adrian. It's enjoyable chatting with you, and I think the real takeaway here is make sure that you are somewhat invested, nibble away at the stocks that you like, and have a longer-term outlook. Adrian, thanks for your time. Everybody stick around. We're going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
As if chlorine in our water weren't bad enough, now they're adding ammonia?
It's true. Some municipalities are now adding ammonia plus chlorine to your water supply. It's a disinfectant called chloramine. But with a trusted Big Berkey water filter, you can keep chloramine out of your water. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show EPA Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market. The gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one that it's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Hi there, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and we're looking in this time of terrible financial crash, terrible meltdown of the medical system, we're looking to pay people obscene amounts of money if you become a student of our business at Youngevity. We will help you actually take care of people better than the medical system has. Think about it. We spend more money in America for healthcare than all the other 218 nations the world put together, and they can't even solve weight loss problems. I mean, the medical system can have a total mental brain fart, and if you do this, you will be able to save an enormous amount of people from being overweight, being obese. They don't even know what causes obesity. Believe me, we know what causes obesity. In the medical system, they think it's from eating too much. It's not from eating too much. It's actually a mineral deficiency. Do you solve a iron deficiency anemia with a bone marrow transplant? That's what they think. Do you solve a mineral deficiency that causes obesity with a gastric bypass? That's dumber than a stump. Contact us at GCNminerals.com. Learn how to lose weight, look good, and save yourselves a gob of money.
This is David Cordani, CEO of Cigna. For more than 20 years, Cigna has worked with the March of Dimes to address premature births in the U.S. Premature births cause horrible suffering and cost billions of dollars each year. That's why Cigna is committed to raising funds and awareness through our employees, family, and friends to improve the health of moms and babies. Please join us in supporting the March for Babies. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shot the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Planning to buy food storage? Wait a minute. Many companies try to confuse you with the number of servings they sell. It's not about the number of servings. It's about the number of calories. In emergencies, calories mean survival. Go to ReadySupplyFoods.com for a comparison of leading companies. Ready Supply Foods sells the most calories per dollar of any company. Our 23 entrees and breakfasts are delicious and full of nutritious calories. The new leader in value and quality. Go to ReadySupplyFoods.com today.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition. Okay, I have some great guests coming up. One included in this interview, Craig Hemke from TFMetalsReport.com. Craig, thanks for joining us this weekend.
Corey, it's always a pleasure. Happy Easter.
Absolutely. Happy Easter to you as well. I hope everybody is having a great weekend, spending some time with their family, or at least just taking some time off. Craig, let's start off, talk about gold as we always do. We are starting to see a bit of a pullback here in gold. Ever since topping out on March 11th, we are seeing some lower highs and also some lower lows. Gold still is not dropping out of bed by any means, but this pullback really was expected when you consider the run that we have had, isn't it?
Yeah, and we don't want to confuse physical fundamentals with paper price at this point. You know, the price that we cite, the one that you and I talk about, is derived on the COMEX primarily. And really, it's the price of the paper derivatives. And then that gets referred to gold. And for now, physical deliveries get made at that price. So the key to the paper derivative price is supply and demand of those said derivatives. Price has moved up sharply so far this year as speculative money has flowed into the gold COMEX pit, if you want to call it that still. And open interest has expanded by nearly 25% from about 380,000 contracts at the end of January all the way up to more than 500,000 contracts as of just a couple of days ago. It's a lot of speculator money on the long side. a lot of bank paper issuance on the other side. We track what are called the commitment of traders reports that show historically, and that's what they're used for, is just as a historical reference point. But we can show historically that once commercial bank positions get to extreme levels of short, the price usually then helps them out and heads to the downside. We've been expecting that for about a month, and now that's underway. We're also approaching, Corey, the expiration and going off the board next week of the April, which had been the front month futures contract. And so if you're unwilling to stand for delivery, and you know 99% of those speculators don't, your April contract has to be liquidated, sold. And then if you want a new long position, rolled into the next front month, which is June. So you got a lot of selling pressure of these spec longs that's coming to the fore here this week, but also next week. Whether those positions will fully roll into June kind of impacts whether there's going to be a price rally. So a lot of things are converging on the paper markets at once, giving us some selling pressure, and hopefully we'll be able to maintain an upward bias. There's some key moving averages that price may begin to encounter. The 50-day moving average in gold's down around 1190. Hopefully gold can stay above there. That'll help maintain kind of an upward bias to price. That's the level people are going to want to watch as we head into next week.
Well, Craig, even if we move below that 50-day moving average, we still have the 200-day moving average right now at about 1138, let's say, and that moving average is starting to turn up. So let's say we do move down to the 1150 region. I know some other technicians have pointed out that number. We're still putting in a significantly higher low from that bottom that we experienced in December. So still longer-term bullish. This pullback, kind of natural, isn't it?
Yeah, it's one of those things. And we call it the wash and rinse cycle of the speculators. You know, they come charging in wanting an exposure to gold, and so they buy COMEX contracts. And these banks issue new contracts to them, feed it to them to meet that demand until the point where momentum kind of stalls and everybody that has or is going to buy has bought up here above the 500,000 contract of open interest level. I mean, those are levels we saw back in 2011 and 2012. We haven't seen them since until now. So we're kind of at that point where there's just simply more sellers than buyers all of a sudden, and price goes back down. It can be kind of a natural correction. What we don't want is what you pointed out. We want to stay above these moving average lines. We want to keep kind of a positive bias. Hopefully that's where some of these fundamentals will come into play and help support price. But for now, this drawback that we've been anticipating really for about the last month is finally upon us. And we just hope that the devastation isn't too great and that we can resume an uptrend that will carry us to even higher highs maybe later on this spring.
So let's talk about the battle between speculators and retail investors, because as you mentioned, it does seem like there were a lot of speculators that came into the market right around the bottom. They've made a nice price appreciation. Some of them, rightfully so, probably lightening up their position. I still don't think we're seeing those retail investors hop on board, because those are the guys that really start to drive the price once it moves up. Is there a level that you're looking at that you think more of these retail investors will be enticed to buy?
Yeah, it's a ways out there still. I mean, I think ultimately the really big number that would get a lot of people excited is back above 1525 in gold. So we're talking $300 from here. We're not even halfway there from the lows. 1525 was the level that gold first had to get through on the way up. It's where gold then held when we initially sold off in September of 2011. And then that level held as a floor for the longest time, really more than a year and a half, before we were smashed down below there in April of 2013. If we can recapture that level, that will really be a sign that a new bull market has resumed and we could really get a mad scramble back higher. Before we get there, there's a level around 1320 that would be a very good sign to cross as well. You could say we were getting close to that a couple of weeks ago, which is why all of a sudden the market then rolled over instead. So let's watch 1320, but then the key level where I think just about anybody would recognize that gold has turned and the trend is higher again and a new bull market would resume with all kinds of new price forecasts. That level would be 1525. How soon we can get there is a topic probably for another day, but it would be those two levels that I think we're going to want to watch first.
Craig, how important do you think it is in terms of other asset classes or other markets moving? As in, let's say we're seeing the rolling over again of the U.S. equity markets. Plus, we're also seeing the dollar quite volatile, and it had been dropping recently. How closely do you watch, let's say, these two industries, and is there anything else that you have an eye on?
Well, let's put it in the perspective, again, of this paper derivative pricing structure. As long as the paper derivative trading is what sets price, then you've got to have buyers of the paper derivatives, the gold futures contracts. What drove price from 1050 to 1150 and then all the way up through 1250 was this expansion of interest in owning those paper derivative contracts. And the open interest on the COMEX went from 380,000 up to 510,000 a couple of days ago when it most recent peak. So until you get further interest, further new money to come into COMEX Gold, to drive the open interest to 550 or 600,000, it's going to be hard to drive the price higher. So what would drive that additional open interest? It would be these events you're talking about. Melting down stock market, a breakdown of the dollar type, things like that, that would drive hedge funds and other managed money, that that type of investor, if you will, into COMEX Gold. So does that make sense? You see the relationship between the two? I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Absolutely. Yeah, we talk about our relationship on a regular basis. Just wanted to get your insights on it. Now, Craig, as we move next week into April, are you bullish, bearish, neutral on gold?
It's going to be a tough week, I would think, just because you've got this organic selling with the contract expiration of the April contract and it moving into delivery and then the rolling into June. So you've got that. You've got option expiration next Monday as well. And then we'll be moving toward the March unemployment report, which will come out next Friday the 1st. I'm not fooling, and that's not an April Fool's joke. There really will be an employment report that day. And usually gold's under pressure on those days. So we've got a number of things working against us in the short term. Let's just see if gold can find some support around 1200 or slightly below, and then maybe we can rebuild and start something up again in April.
Craig, I enjoyed chatting with you. Everyone go check out his website, tfmetalsreport.com, and stick around. We are going to be right back to wrap up the first hour.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let gravity do the work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the sacral wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the Sacro Wedgie.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Olson Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now for not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
Welcome in. Here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition. Al had to step out of the studio, so I'm going it alone with my buddy Chris Temple from the National Investor. Chris, I want to tackle a topic that I think is on everybody's mind because it's mostly in every Fed statement that comes out, and it has a, I guess, impact on not only the markets but also a lot on the commodities, and that is this ongoing inflation-deflation debate. You like to call it the inflation debate. It seems to constantly be this push and pull of data coming out saying, no, we have inflation, and then other deflationists saying, we're setting up for a deflationary time. Look at this and this and this asset class. It's a tough topic. So where do you stand on it right now?
Well, I think it was Milton Friedman once said that inflation is always and everywhere a monetary phenomenon. And we have become accustomed over decades to talk about inflation in the terms of something that is in many respects actually a symptom of inflation. You know, when we see prices go up at the grocery store or gas pump or whatever, we call that inflation. And in a sense, it's not. It's a result of first monetary inflation, the old saw of too many dollars chasing relatively fewer goods. But that's something that the American people have been miseducated on for years, way back to the day when Nixon first took us off the gold standard and prices started going up, and his economic advisor Herbert Stein said it was the fault of American housewives that inflation was bad. All they needed to do is be wiser shoppers and clip more coupons, and their grocery bills would be lower. So that, when that's the kind of leadership you have on economic questions, it's no wonder people are confused. But anyway, having said that as a brief introduction, Corey, you know, a lot of smart people over time have been confused by this, not just the hoi polloi. You had back in the late 70s and early 80s when we had double-digit inflation, double-digit interest rates followed that. There were many predictions from intelligent people that the U.S. was going to go the way of South America nations, which back in those days had triple and even quadruple inflation and interest rate readings. However, those people were wrong, and as the 80s and 90s went on, bonds went into a multi-decade bull market, inflation rates came down to a fraction of what they were before, reported inflation came down more than anybody would have thought was possible, and everybody scratched their head that had made those predictions. Well, where were we wrong?
Well, they were right in the sense that we really did get hyperinflation. The problem is they were looking for it in the wrong place. The hyperinflation ended up through a variety of means that we don't have time to get into on this short segment. The hyperinflation ended up in asset prices, be it basically financial assets, stocks and bonds. And since that time, we've repeated on and off this pattern where you have hyperinflation in financial assets, in one notable sense, of course, in the aughts, the 2000s, in real estate and mortgages and derivatives and securities tied to that. And then you have a deflation where it blows off. And those things have follow-on effects where consumer prices are concerned, but those moves in asset prices have really become the inflation versus deflation debate. We really aren't correct if we talk about it in the sense of prices of goods and services.
Now, Chris, we hear from the Fed that they want a 2% inflation rate. For them, that is the sweet spot. Do you think it's that simple? And what is your sweet spot if you do think there is a certain sweet spot out there?
Well, no, it's not that simple. And Corey, the reason why they're saying they want some level of inflation to begin with, when the average person would question why we would want any. I mean, what's the sin in consumer prices going down over time, which in some respects they have because of better technology, competition, and so forth? When you have a fractional reserve system, it requires that you have some kind of inflation so that people will spend money sooner rather than for fear of waiting and prices go up. Likewise, businesses would do the same thing. That's why the Fed wants inflation. They pull this 2% figure out of their rear end. And even when you look at the preferred measure of inflation that they're using these days, the consumer price deflator, it's approaching their target. And yet, what did they just do when they should have raised rates a week and a half ago, is that they come up with some cockamamie excuse why they won't do it, because they understand where the real inflation versus deflation debate and struggle is, and that is with asset prices and markets. And after putting on a brave face in December and acting as if they're going to try and gently manage the deflation that must come again in at least some areas of the markets, they're scared, because they think it'll get out of hand like it did in 2008. So they're trying to push in the monetary inflation direction again and at least keep things levitated by not raising rates to the extent that they said they would.
Well, one of the arguments by the Fed to not raise rates was global concerns, the continued shakiness around the world, and also it seems like domestic stock markets. With this inflation debate, it's, I think, very tough to separate just domestic inflation or deflation and also global inflation deflation, because we're all connected. How do you feel about this argument that it's hard to just judge one country's inflation because we're all connected?
Well, we are all connected basically by practice of many decades. The U.S. dollar is the world's reserve currency. It accounts for roughly 2/3 of all global transactions. You've had people and investors and companies in other countries use the dollar for arbitrage, for carry trades, for funding, to raise money. Emerging nations alone have well over $1 trillion in U.S. dollar-denominated debt outstanding that they took on in recent years when the dollar was low. Now the dollar's gone up, so it's making those bills harder to pay for those nations. And so, yes, the Fed must consider all these other things because, again, largely anchored by the dollar standard in the world and by the goings-on when the dollar was cheaper compared to other currencies, and everybody borrowed it to do all manner of different things with it. You know, now everybody's on the hook. And if the Fed doesn't pay attention to those things and how vulnerable those things are, then they blow up the market. So they are very valiantly trying to fight deflation. But when they talk about fighting deflation, like these other central banks, the deflation that they're fighting is not that a new computer is going to go from $500 this year to $480 next year. The deflation they're talking about is when companies go bust and debt goes bust and implodes and equity markets come tumbling down and derivatives come tumbling down. That's the deflation that they're fighting. And so people need to understand what this whole inflation versus deflation thing is, how it works. But it's why these guys talk on both sides of gold, for example. are talking out of their rear ends because they don't even understand how this inflation debate plays out. You know, we were told in the immediate aftermath of the 2008 financial crisis that gold was going to 5,000. And a lot of people did indeed race to get into gold, believing that particular pitch that this was going to lead to Venezuela like or Zimbabwe like or Weimar Germany like hyperinflation. But what they didn't understand is for every dollar the Fed created since that time, the market was destroying $1,000 as debts were imploding and the real estate market and derivatives and everything else was falling apart. So all of this money printing by the Fed, you know, to get $5,000 gold, you're going to have to add a zero or two onto the next round of QE to have it translate into the kind of hyperinflation these guys are predicting.
So, Chris, you were one of the first ones on record that I talked to talking about stagflation. You talked about that over a year ago now, I would say. You still in that camp? And if so, how long can stagflation hang around?
We are going to have, perhaps, Corey, for years to come, the slow, dull ache where the economy is chronically weak. We will have bouts of financial volatility. The major downside risk for asset prices is still to the downside because we've had several more years of hyperinflation of stocks, but more so credits, the oil patch debt, other types of loans and things like that. That's what they're trying to keep afloat. So assuming the Fed has some success and keeps things at equilibrium, we're going to continue to muddle through. Markets are going to be very unexciting. You're going to have to be a good market timer, directional trader, and stock picker to do well. And hopefully they avoid more major implosions. But you wouldn't want to bet your life on that.
Well, Chris, this is an interesting topic to me because I think it is very relevant for investors, plus just people trying to figure out this world that we are in with these mixed stories coming out, just even from the Fed heads. I don't know, so much debate out there and not a whole lot of answers. And I think as long as it just doesn't get too out of hand, either on the hyperinflation or hyperdeflation side, then people will be okay. But it's when the inflation or deflation gets out of hand, that's when you really start to see countries struggling. And now with how connected we are, the world could really be hit just in a broader sense.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
It's no secret that pathogens such as bacteria, viruses, molds, and fungus can inflict severe damage in the human body. Fortunately, a new and vastly improved silver solution has been developed. Supernatural Silver is a revolutionary broad-spectrum antibacterial, antiviral, antifungal solution that can be used inside the body as well as on the skin. Supernatural Silver is unique and superior to colloidal and ionic silvers using a patented technology that is highly effective against colds, flus, infections, food poisoning, and yeast, in addition to many other pathogens. Supernatural Silver is scientifically supported, extremely safe, and is the number one choice of thousands of people for immune system support. Find out how Supernatural Silver could change your life. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code HEALTHY for 20% off. That's supernaturalsilver.com. And like us on Facebook.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.